Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Fred Pullen on the Internet Explorer marketing team, and I'll be talking for the next 75 minutes or so on Internet Explorer 10 administration. Now, I wanted to give you an idea of my background, to give you an idea of the kinds of questions I'm likely to be able to answer and the kinds of questions I may not be able to answer or may be able to point you in the right direction. I spent about 15 years as an IT pro and as a consultant before joining Microsoft 10 years ago as a technical evangelist. So my background is as an IT pro. I've done a little bit of development. I'm not a developer. What we'll be looking at today is Internet Explorer 10 administration, an overview covering a few different topics, in particular customizing the browser, deploying IE10, browser management, and talking about group policies, and application compatibility. But I want to make it very clear, I'm talking about application compatibility from the standpoint of an IT pro. In other words, what can you do to help with application compatibility without cracking the website? There are other sessions at TechEd and other sessions online that can help with development. Now, with an audience this size, I will try to make it as interactive as possible, but I apologize, it's a very, very large room. If you have a question, you may wave at me. I may not see you because the lights are in my eyes and it's very dark. So please do shout out questions if you have them. I do want to make this as interactive as possible. And at the end of the session, if we have time, I will have Q&A. Even if we don't have time for Q&A, I can stay here as long as you like, just out in the foyer, and address any questions that you have, or at least give you my business card and put you in touch with the right people in Redmond. Now, there's one other thing I wanted to mention around housekeeping. I'm here to talk about Internet Explorer 10 administration. So I assume if you're here in the audience, you want to learn something about Internet Explorer 10 administration. It's a very broad overview, as much information and demos as I can fit into 75 minutes. I do get lots of questions whenever I present about Chrome, Firefox, other browsers. I'm happy to have those conversations with you outside, but today we're just talking about Internet Explorer administration. I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm not trying to convince you that Internet Explorer is the best browser. I'm just talking about Internet Explorer administration because I think you are probably here for a reason. So if you do want to talk about browser performance, if you want to talk about browser security, if you want to talk about anything else related to browsers, I'm happy to talk about that. Let's hold some of those questions until the end. All right. I did want to also kick this off by talking a little bit about the two experiences in Internet Explorer 10, because I realize this is a point of confusion. Microsoft had an interesting technical problem. The technical problem is this, and I think it's true for Windows, it's true for a lot of products, it's very true for Internet Explorer. Our customers asked us to create a version of Internet Explorer that was more secure, that was based on modern standards, that was very touch-friendly to support smaller screen sizes, to support touch devices. And at the same time, they also said, oh, and don't break the web for everything else that we have. We need to continue running our existing web applications, so please make sure it's backward compatible. So it's a very difficult problem. How do you take the web forward with modern standards, touch support, full screen browsing, and at the same time be backward compatible for all the existing web apps? The two experiences we created for Internet Explorer 10 answer that problem. These are actually based on the same iExplorer.exe process. If you look in the task manager, you'll see that whether you start the immersive full screen browser or you start the legacy desktop browser, both are based on the same process. They're both the same browser. Think of it as two front ends or two different experiences on top of that browser. The immersive browser, by default, runs 64-bit, plug-in free, and it's a little more secure, a little more touch-friendly. It has some features that really lend themselves well towards browsing on Surface or other touch devices. The legacy desktop browser, by default, is 32-bit. It supports your plugins, supports ActiveX, Silverlight, et cetera, even Java. So it's a little less secure, but at the expense of compatibility with other sites, compatibility with applications. I always like to explain this because I know this is a point of confusion. And just from talking with some of you coming in the room, you said you were interested in learning more about this. So if you would like to learn more about any differences between, say, 64-bit and 32-bit or the security enhanced protected mode, I'm happy to talk with you about that. All right, let's dive into customizing the browser now. There are lots and lots of ways of customizing the browser. These are some common ones, you know, customizing the title bar, maybe changing the connection settings, changing the favorites, things like that. These customizations aren't necessarily limited to just machines within your domain. In other words, you can create customization packages and release those to unmanaged devices. You can also use the Internet Explorer Administration Kit to create packages that you release to external customers. For example, Yahoo creates their own version of Internet Explorer that includes the Yahoo toolbar. And there are other companies that do similar things. They create their own version of Internet Explorer suitable for external distribution and include their own customizations and their own packages, their own toolkits, their own settings. So one way to think about this within the context of an IT pro, within the context of a commercial company, is that you can actually create settings and customize settings for your managed devices and have different settings for various managed devices. You also are probably starting to see unmanaged devices coming into your network. So this may be one way of helping to create connection settings or create other things for unmanaged devices and be able to more easily deploy those out as well. The Internet Explorer Administration Kit is a very easy wizard-based way of creating a package that you can then deploy to those managed or unmanaged devices. The current version, IEAK 10, supports Windows 8, 64 and 32-bit, and Windows 7, 64 and 32-bit. And you do have to create separate distribution packages for each of those flavors. And one question I get sometimes, if I create a Windows 8 64-bit version, does that include the 32-bit browser? And the answer is yes. If you install Internet Explorer 10 64-bit, it includes both the 64-bit browser and the 32-bit browser. It's just like installing IE10 on Windows 7 today. All right, so let's go into a demonstration. And there are some things I'd like to share here. Now, this first demonstration is primarily wizard-based, but I am going to show you some of the gotchas. I am going to also show how you can use the automatic update feature for updating the settings of Internet Explorer, which some of you may not be using today. Let's go ahead and kick this off. Now, I can download this on ieak.microsoft.com. And it's a wizard that is available in, I think it's 24 languages. But keep in mind, you can create packages, distribution packages, in any language that Windows supports. So you can create the distribution package for any language. It's just that the wizard itself is only available in a subset of languages. Oh, by the way, I also like to explain exactly my demonstration environment. No smoke or mirrors. Everything is as you see. This is my production laptop. It's a Lenovo X1. And I'm running two virtual machines on it. I'm running a virtual machine with Windows Server 2012 Essentials, and I'm running a Windows 8 client. What we're looking at here is the Windows 8 client that I'm using to run the IEAK. And of course, the two are networked together. I'll be showing that a little bit later. So in this case, it's simply asking me where I want to drop the files. I can choose any of the four methods. I can choose to create for Windows 8 32-bit, x86, Windows 8 64, Windows 7, Service Pack 1 x86, or Service Pack 1 x64. In this case, I'm creating for my own system here that is x64. Now, this is where, as I mentioned before, we can choose any of the target languages that Windows supports. And I'm just going to keep it with English US for now. I can also choose whether to use a full installation package, including the binaries for Internet Explorer. If, for example, I'm upgrading Windows 7, I can choose to install the full package. In this case, because I'm deploying on Windows 8, Windows 8 has Internet Explorer 10 installed. So I know for those of you who have already used IEIK, this is old news for you. I'll get to the exciting stuff in a few moments. In my last session, I had a couple people walk out at this point saying, I know all this stuff. But if you wait 5 minutes, I promise it'll be more interesting. All right, feature selection. What parts of Internet Explorer do you want to customize? Do you want to customize the search providers, the accelerators, compatibility view programs? I'm going to keep everything selected just so we can walk through it briefly. It'll synchronize with the cloud to make sure we're using the latest version of Internet Explorer, that we have the latest bits installed. I synchronized it last night, so we should be good. You can choose at this point whether to use a hands-free installation, completely silent, no restart. I have to say, no restart depends on what you're installing. You can choose no restart here, but if you're installing some components that require a restart, obviously it will require a restart to take effect. All right, I'm going to walk through some of this relatively quickly. You can customize the search providers. You might use Yandex. You might use other search providers. It's very easy to import those from your current setup on this machine and choose a default search provider other than the default one here. All right, you can choose the homepage, and I'm just going to leave it at bing.com, but I'll show you in a moment how easy it is to change this as well. One gotcha. Retain previous version of the home screen. If you check that box, they may end up with two versions of the home screen. Now, please let me know if you figured out a workaround for this. I've played with it a little bit. There's no logic built into the IEIK or in the deployment that actually will turn that off. In other words, if I add Bing and Bing is already there, I have two Bings. So please let me know if you figured out a way around that. When I was doing consulting, I often looked for ways around that for my clients, but now I'm not in that position. So I appreciate your real-world experience here. Accelerators, favorites, browsing options. You know, do you want to delete or do you want to not delete any items when you go through the settings update? Do you want to go through the Internet Explorer 10 first run wizard? Do you want to use compatibility view by default? I'll talk about compatibility view towards the end of the session, and we'll go into a lot more detail there. So I'm just going to gloss through this right now. Do you want to import or change connection settings? And then this is where we start to get a little bit interesting. How many of you use automatic configuration today, where you drop some files out on a server and then you, okay, I see only two or three hands go up. So it's worth talking about, I think, in some detail here, because there are some gotchas. This is a way, if I enable this, this is a way for me to use a share to update the settings on an instance of Internet Explorer. Now, this can be very, very useful because, again, it doesn't have to be a managed device. It could be an unmanaged device that simply is looking to this web share to pull down configuration files. So it's a way of helping you manage the Internet Explorer that's installed on either managed or unmanaged devices. And you can create a number of different shares for different flavors or different types of internal customers or external customers that you're serving. As I said, though, there are some gotchas, and I want to talk about those in a second. One of those is automatically detect configuration settings. So the top button here, if I check automatically detect connection settings, configuration settings, then the automatic configuration will not work successfully. So this is, I'm giving you some hints and tips and tricks of things that, you know, cause us to bang our head against a wall until we figure it out. This is one. If you want to use automatic configuration, you do need to uncheck the automatic detect automatically. All right, you do have to use a full URL here. In this case, I'm referencing my server, server 1. And I'll leave it at that for now. I can also set proxy. I can set security zones and privacy, customize program settings. And then when I'm ready, it can create the package. Now, a couple of things I wanted to share about this. Let's go look at the deployment package that we just created. So we just created this one. And if you look, yeah, it has the time and date stamp of home, which is 6:30 in the morning. Now, something to keep in mind here, the MSI file is only a wrapper for the executable. I've talked to people who have said, yes, we took the package that we created through the IAK, we then deployed this using System Center or a third-party tool, and we couldn't get it to work. It didn't work properly. You need both files to work properly. The MSI file does not contain the settings. The MSI file is just a wrapper for the executable. So that's something to keep in mind. The other thing I wanted to mention is this is the brand only. There's also an INS file. This is the INS file and associated files that I can then drop on a web share to use that automatic configuration feature. So keep in mind here, again, just like the MSI file, I don't just want to drop the INS file. I want to drop all of these files onto WebShare because it will not just use the INS file, it will use the other files as well. So let's go ahead and try this now. I'm going to go ahead and execute brand only. MSI file, it does give me the screen. I think it'll also give me a UAC warning, yes. Okay, so it just applied that feature, just applied that change. Now, the interesting thing is, applying this change, I would actually have to log out and log back in to see any major changes. But I wanted to show you something interesting about this. If I go back up to the INS files, I'm going to copy these and paste them into here's my IE config share, and I'm going to drop all of these install.ins files out there. Now what I can do with this, all right, this is plain text file of the changes that we've just recommended, the changes that we've made. So if you see down here, you'll see that homepage equals bing.com. Let's go ahead and just change that. I can just change it in text here. I can say server 1 terra firma, which is a local site that I created on my own server. And I'm going to, there's a typo there. There we go. Save it, quit. Now watch, this is where it gets interesting. I said to check at 0 minutes, which if you read the help, it basically means every time I start Internet Explorer, it will check for this INS file out on my network. The first time I start it, it will use my settings that I just pushed out. It will use the regular settings. But it also just invisibly to the user ran this INS file, made the changes. The next time I start, it uses my new homepage. So this is a very easy way to make changes. If you have customers, if you have internal clients who are looking at this share for changes, this is a very easy way of rolling out those changes without making it a software push, without making it a very large effort. It's simply making a few tweaks to a text file and the changes are there. Any questions about this or comments? All right, there's one other gotcha that I mentioned. Again, I try to add value by showing you what the problems are and how you overcome them. there is a registry entry that you have to enable for this feature to work properly. So I wanted to show you what that was. It is in the documentation. If you look in the documentation, I'm trying to save you 20 minutes. So if I go into the registry and look at HKEY local machine software, Microsoft Internet Explorer, main, feature control, I have to actually create feature underscore autoconfig underscore branding, and then I have to create this registry key, iExplorer.exe, with a value of 1. This allows Internet Explorer, the executable, to be updated through this automatic. This is essentially turning on this feature for Internet Explorer. I mention this because those are two gotchas, having the autoconfig turned on and not having the registry key. If you do both of those things, then it makes it very easy for you to push these changes out using this mechanism. All right, any questions on this? For those of you, I only saw 3 or 4 hands go up. Any other gotchas that you would suggest? I know that sometimes it's difficult to use this, it's difficult to turn it on. That's why I'm here to simplify it for you, hopefully. All right. All right, let's switch back. As I mentioned before, you can get the IEAK through ieak.microsoft.com. The wizard itself is available in those 24 languages. The other thing I'll mention here is that, Gesundheit. There is some good guidance in the deployment guide on how to use the IEAK, as well as there's guides for the IEAK itself. All right, let's talk next about deploying Internet Explorer 10. There are basically two deployment scenarios. I know I'm grossly simplifying this, but the two scenarios are simply running existing computers running Windows. You want to upgrade or update Internet Explorer on those machines, or as part of a Windows deployment. Now, for either of those scenarios, if you go into the Internet Explorer deployment guide, there is a deployment guide that goes into a lot of detail for specific scenarios. For example, you can deploy, for existing computers, you can deploy Internet Explorer by creating a package just as we did with the IEAK. You can also use the existing installer for Internet Explorer 10. Internet Explorer 10 does support a number of switches. So it supports a /s silent switch. It also supports some other similar switches so that you can use your existing tools for deploying Windows applications. The easiest way to think about this, though, and the deployment guide does cover scenarios like using group policy, which isn't generally recommended because it's very easy, or very difficult, rather, to manage. But regardless of what your scenario is, whether you're using WSUS, Windows Server Update Services, whether you're using third-party applications for pushing out updates, regardless of how you use, Internet Explorer is a component of Windows. Internet Explorer is a part of Windows. So we want you to use whatever you use for managing your Windows infrastructure, you should be able to use for managing Internet Explorer. And that's why we've made it so easy for you to create your own packages, your own distribution packages, which you can then use with a variety of mechanisms. You can even drop it on a share and have users simply click on it. So lots of ways of doing it. I'll show a specific one in a demonstration in a moment. But you know, there isn't enough time for me to show WSUS and System Center and third party and group policy. I would simply recommend that you look to the deployment guide. Now, the other way is as part of a Windows deployment. You can obviously build in Internet Explorer with the settings that you prefer. So you can build a package using the IEAK, then use that to install it on your reference system, and you can actually create a deployment package of Windows that includes your Internet Explorer settings. So let's look at a quick demonstration of Windows Server Update Services. Now, one question I get a lot is, I would like to deploy Internet Explorer 10 for Windows 7. I can't find it in WSUS. You haven't pushed it out to me yet, Microsoft. How can I find this? So I wanted to show you an easy way so you could find this and then deploy it. For this demonstration, I'm going to be using my server, and I'm just going to log in. And now I'm actually going to go out to the catalog. So I've gone to the Microsoft Update catalog that includes all of the updates, including ones that I may not even be aware of and through WSUS. But this makes it very easy for me to search for Internet Explorer 10. And at this point, I should be able to, actually, let me scroll around a little bit. Here we go, Internet Explorer 10 for Windows 7. So I can find it through the catalog and simply add it to my basket. I've already done this download, so I'm not going to do it again, but if we download this, it knows that I have WSUS installed. It knows I have Windows Server Update Services installed, and it can import this package into my WSUS list. So let me start up Windows Server Update Services. There we go. Hopefully your catalog doesn't look like this, but I just synchronized recently, so I have lots and lots of updates. And I can find Internet Explorer 10 for Windows 7. And at this point, I can choose which groups for which to approve this particular update. Approved for installation, and it's inherited by the other computers, and of course, success. All right, any questions about this? I realize I'm going through this relatively quickly. The bottom line for this, the most important thing is Internet Explorer is simply a part of Windows. Like any other Windows application, we don't want you to do something special to manage this. We don't want you to do something special to have to deploy it. It should use whatever the tools you use to manage your Windows infrastructure. System Center Configuration Manager, it should use third-party tools. You know, if you use you know, group policies for deploying software, you know, it can be problematic, but this will support that as well. So lots of different ways of deploying, and we want to make this as easy as possible for you. All right, let me switch back. So some specific guidance, and I do have an announcement to make. If you're relatively early in deploying or you know, exploring, planning, testing your deployment, and you've been planning so far using Internet Explorer 9, you may wish to think about switching to deploying with Internet Explorer 10 or Internet Explorer 11, because I got permission to announce that Internet Explorer 11 will be available on Windows 7. This is an announcement that will come at Builds in a few hours. And there will be, I wrote a What's New document. There's also a Q&A that will be published today a little bit later. So we will have some information for you on Internet Explorer 11, which will be supported on Windows 8.1 and Windows 7. If you're later in the process, if you're already deploying, we suggest you continue deploying to take advantage of the improvements in standard support, in security, in performance. But we also suggest that you pilot Internet Explorer 10, or if you are looking to it, Internet Explorer 11. Starting today, you'll be able to download the bits for IE11 on Windows 8.1 preview. I've spoken with several of you as you walked in who said you're already running similar pilots now, separate pilots just to make sure that everything works. I think you'll find that many of the investments that you made in upgrading to IE9 do transfer to IE10. So upgrading line of business applications, I've spoken with vendors myself who say, yes, upgrading from 6 to 8 was very, very difficult. Upgrading to 8, you know, away from 8 can be sometimes difficult. Upgrading 9 to 10 is not nearly as difficult. And that is our expectation moving forward, that upgrading from 9 to 11 or 10 to 11 is not as difficult as moving from some of the previous versions. We want to add features. We don't want to do things like deprecate support for compatibility modes. And I'll be talking about that more towards the end of the session. All right, browser management. The easiest way to think about this is that Internet Explorer is highly configurable. I talk to customers all the time who say, isn't it great that we can go out and customize code for WebKit? And I understand. I used to be a Unix administrator. I used to be a Linux administrator. So I understand that it's very empowering to go into the kernel and make your own changes to the driver, make your own recompile. But at the same time, at the end of the day, if you make those changes, it can be difficult to find support. If you fork the code and go off on your own and make changes, sometimes it's more difficult to find someone who can support you. The way I think about Internet Explorer with its 1,500 or so group policies is that it is a highly configurable browser. But the good news is, at the end of the day, after you've made these configuration changes, it's still a browser that's supported by Microsoft. So lots of changes. You can customize the browser for everything from lockdown security browser to something that's more generic for consumers. But there's lots of flexibility here. There are some new policies for Internet Explorer 10. Most of those policies relate to the features of Internet Explorer 10. For example, there is a feature to turn off flash instantiation. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment. We've also added in Internet Explorer 11 preview, we've added some group policies to support some new features of Internet Explorer 11 preview as well. I'm not here to talk about IE11, but I'm just saying we're not in the business of deprecating a lot of policies, of taking policies away. What we want to do is, with each new version, as each new version adds some control, adds some features, we'd like to add to the policies to be able to control those features. Now, I mentioned Flash briefly, and it's worth discussing for a moment. I haven't had a lot of questions so far, and I think we have enough time to warrant this discussion. If we get back to the discussion I kicked this off by talking about the immersive Internet Explorer 10, touch-friendly, and also the legacy desktop experience. When we first announced the immersive browser with Windows 8 preview, some of you may remember we said it would not support any plugins. And the world said, hold it. We want to be able to support Flash. What we realized was a lot of developers are planning on moving towards modern standards like HTML5, CSS3. But we didn't want to force you to upgrade on our timeline. Since we were supporting, through Internet Explorer 10, we were supporting Surface. We were supporting Windows RT devices. We were supporting Windows 8 devices, lots of different devices. We wanted to include Flash, but we didn't want to include pieces of Flash that would kill, for example, the battery life. We didn't want a user to pick up a Surface, go to a website, and half an hour later, their battery is dead. It's a very poor user experience for a tablet PC or a tablet computer. So what we chose to do was instead work very closely with Adobe to incorporate some elements of Flash into the browser. Now, you'll remember, through the years, Flash has grown to encompass a lot of things. Flash can capture your video camera. Flash can capture audio. Flash can do lots and lots and lots of things with your hardware. Most Flash sites don't use that functionality. So what we chose to do was incorporate a lot of elements of Flash, not things that would kill your battery, not things that we saw as big security holes. And initially, when we launched Windows 8, we chose to have a whitelist. We said to developers out there, please submit your site for inclusion in our whitelist. We tested the site. It works okay with our version of Flash. And we included them in the whitelist. What we found across 6 months of testing was that most sites were compatible with the features we had included. 95% of sites worked fine without any problem. So in March of this year, just a few months ago, we made a switch. We went from a whitelist to a blacklist. We said, we're going to assume that a site will work with Flash unless we know that it doesn't, and then we will include them in the blacklist. So when I said earlier the immersive browser is plug-in free, it does include Flash, whether it's on a Windows Surface, Surface Pro, Windows 8 machine. It does include the ability to run Flash. And now there are very, very few sites that don't work properly with that. There is, of course, bringing it back to group policy, there is, of course, a group policy for you to prevent that in your environment. And that's another thing I should mention is many of these group policies work across both browsers. Preventing Flash from running is a group policy that runs across the immersive browser as well as the legacy desktop browser. So many of these group policies are set once, and because it's the same browser, they work in both experiences. Another thing I should mention is the IEAK is simply a good way of setting a browser preference. It is not a way of enforcing that preference. In other words, I can use the IEAK to change someone's home screen. I cannot use the IEAK for locking down that home screen, for preventing the user from changing it. I can use a group policy for locking down that change. Now, the easiest way I know to find some of these group policies is by using the group policy search tool. And I'm going back to my IEs on Windows 8. This is gpsearch.azurewebsites.net. If you haven't used this already, it's a very, very useful tool. I can simply choose to filter just information for Internet Explorer 10. And now almost every element of the browser, if I look, for example, I'm going to pull up Internet Options. I have numerous tabs here. I have general, security, privacy, content, and within each tab, I have various elements of the tab. Almost everything you see has a group policy that affects just that element. In this case, let's say I want to block out the general tab for most users. What I can do is simply do a search over here for general tab. It's going out and finding this information, then it comes back, and there we go. Notice there are two right next to each other. One is for blocking the general page at a computer level. One is for blocking it at a user level. So we have two group policies, user and computer. And now it's very easy for me to implement this. I can simply gpedit.msc, or I can use whatever I use to manage group policy. In this case, it's a local computer, so I'm simply using gpedit, and I'm browsing down through computer, administrative templates, Windows components, Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer or Internet Control Panel. And this is the one where I can disable any of the major pages that you just saw. So we've made it very easy to simply enable this, disable the general page, and now I can do a GP update force it to update group policy very quickly. And done. Now watch. Right now, I still have the general page. If I start Internet Explorer again, we'll see if I have it or if I need to log out. It's gone. So already, it's made the change. Now, I realize some of you are much, much more advanced than this. This is an overview of IE10 administration. I'm happy to talk with you about some best practices beyond this, using group policy templates, for example. I spoke with someone coming in the door who said that he had a very complex corporate environment. Keep in mind that most people are very hesitant to use group policies to control Internet Explorer, especially because we say there are 1,500 of them. So I'm keeping this relatively basic. I can go into more detail on group policy if you like. And I'm happy to entertain questions after as well. There is some explicit, more explicit guidance on group policies. And I'm happy to share at the end of the session, I have links to the website and some more documentation. All right, let's go ahead and close this. All right, app compat. I expect that we'll spend at least 15 minutes on this, and I do have some good demonstrations. Again, this is application compatibility for IT pros. I'm not going to talk about what you can do to crack the website or make changes there. I am going to give you some tips and tricks and some tools for figuring out the best compatibility mode for your applications, for your external and internal web apps. Compatibility view is the easiest thing for end users to do. What this does is this sets the browser in IE7 mode. Now, there are some gotchas here that I wanted to mention. By default, you'll see on the dialog box here, it says display intranet sites in compatibility view. This is a default setting for Internet Explorer 10 because we realize that most enterprise, most corporations, most commercial groups today would like to use compatibility mode more than standards mode. Eventually, as we get more feedback from you saying we've updated our web applications, everything run fine in standard mode, eventually we will use your feedback to turn off this default. But for today, I think the default still makes sense. And of course, there's a group policy for controlling this within your organization. Now, there's a gotcha here. Internet Explorer 7 mode, compatibility mode, runs slower than native mode. In order to be compatible, we actually use some of the same rules in the original JavaScript engine for IE7, for IE8. We've made some improvements on those for IE10 over IE9. But the fact is, if you're running compatibility mode, it's running relatively slowly. I talk to customers all the time. They say, I'm running Chrome, I'm running Firefox, I'm running Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer is very slow. Say, okay, press F12, and I'll show you in a moment. What document mode are you using? And without a doubt, they tell me Internet Explorer 7, sometimes Internet Explorer 8. And I say, all right, let's try using the standards mode. Let's try using the native IE10 rendering. And sometimes the website works just fine, and it runs just as fast as any other browser. So one problem I think that we run into is by having backward compatibility for some sites are still sending us markup that they originally wrote for Internet Explorer 7. And that markup does run relatively slowly in Internet Explorer. What we are now asking sites to do is send us your standards-based markup. Developers know, as a modern practice, they should be writing to modern standard, HTML5, CSS3. They should not write for Internet Explorer and different code for Chrome and different code for Firefox. Hopefully, we've gotten beyond that. Hopefully, we now can adhere to the same W3C or ECMA international standards and not have unique, unique implementations by browser. All right. Another thing to keep in mind is the compatibility view list. This is actually the mechanism that's used for the blacklist in Flash that I mentioned earlier. Microsoft has a list, an XML list of sites. There's a different list for IE9 and a different list for IE10. And that list of sites has a lot of flexibility to it. It's an XML list that the browser pulls down by default. And it's this last section here, download updated compatibility lists from Microsoft. This also has a group policy. If you download this XML list, the XML list explicitly says what document mode to render the site in, whether a site should be rendered in IE10, IE9, IE8, IE7, or even Quirks mode. This gives public websites a lot of flexibility on what specific document mode they want to use, often temporarily while they're upgrading to modern standards. We have developers reach out to us all the time and say, please turn on IE8 compatibility mode for us. We have an upgrade plan. It's not going to be ready until next year, but in the meantime, IE8 mode works fine. The way that you can use this as an IT pro is you undoubtedly have third-party application providers that you work with. You undoubtedly go to external-facing websites. If you notice, using some of the troubleshooting tools that I'll show you in a moment, if you notice that it works better in a particular document mode, you might reach out to Microsoft or reach out to the developer or both and say, please, you know, suggest including this on the compatibility view list. Suggest using this particular document mode. This happens to us all the time. We had a suggestion recently for a very, very public service that ran better temporarily in IE8 mode. Question? Yes, sir. Yeah, the question is it available offline? Is there a way that you can download this offline? What you'll find is it is downloaded to a location on the local computer. And at that point, although it is not supported, if you do a search, you'll find that there were some folks who actually created a hack for adding their sites to what used to be the Flash whitelist. You remember I said when Windows 8 first came out, we had a whitelist for Flash sites? There are some folks who figured out how they can turn this off and then go into the XML list that's the local copy and make changes to that XML list. Not a supported configuration, but from a technical standpoint, it is feasible. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yeah, I'm happy to talk more with you offline, but again, this isn't supported, but it is technically possible for you to manipulate that local copy. I think the way I would look at it is if you do manipulate the local copy, you might want to take those manipulations and suggest them to Microsoft for inclusion in the list. Because we're happy to reach out on your behalf to developers. We do this all the time. If we notice that a particular site is being rendered in compatibility mode internally within Microsoft, we might reach out to that developer, that site provider, and suggest a particular compatibility mode. So we're happy to play the intermediary in that situation. All right, one suggestion here I have is, I'm not reading the slide, but I know that in Internet Explorer 10, even in the desktop view, sometimes it's hard to find this dialog box. So if you simply hit F10 or use the drop-down menu, it's very easy to find it. Incidentally, once you add a site to compatibility view, it will show up in this list, but here's a gotcha. If you add a site using a group policy to a compatibility view, and I'll show you how to do that in a moment, I'll show you more information on that. Or if a site is in a compatibility mode through the CVL, it will not show up on this list. This is a list for this particular user. So it doesn't show up on the list, but it's still something that we can look at and see what mode it's actually being rendered in. F12 developer tools, a bit of a misnomer. Again, I'm not a developer, but I use this tool all the time. And I think it has some good functionality. It does have the ability to do network traces, although I'd recommend Fiddler instead of that. Some of you may be familiar with Eric Lawrence's excellent product there. In particular, what we're looking at here are browser mode and document mode. Browser mode is the user agent string that the browser tells to the website. Now, interestingly, some generally older websites will send different markup if they think they're talking to Internet Explorer 7, or if they're talking to Internet Explorer 8, or if they're talking to Internet Explorer 9, they send different markup for each of those versions. So sometimes juggling the browser mode will actually show you that a site may be more compatible with an older version. In this case, we generally recommend starting with document mode. Document mode is how the browser itself interprets the markup. Now, today, a little bit later today, we'll be announcing IE 11 preview on Windows 8.1 preview, as I mentioned before. We did make some significant changes to the F12 developer tools. As far as I can tell, we didn't deprecate any functionality, but you'll see that the menu looks a little bit different. It's more of a touch-friendly menu. The menu bar goes along the left side, but the functionality is still there. So everything that I'm showing you today also applies for IE 11 preview and for on Windows 8.1 preview. All right, let's go ahead and dive into a demo. All right, in this case, I'm going to pull up Internet Explorer. There we go. Now, watch as I hit F12, it brings up these developer tools. And you'll see that I'm running browser mode IE10 and document mode standards. Now, I can choose to render this web page in a variety of modes. I can choose to run it in what we call Quirks mode. I can run IE9 standards, IE8, IE7, or even IE5 Quirks. Now, incidentally, there are two group policies that are available to me. So the way to think about this tool in particular, is how do I find out the best possible document mode for this website? And then once you've figured out the best possible document mode for this website, then you can figure out how do I implement that document mode. There are a few different ways. One is obviously through the CVL that's managed by Microsoft. Another way is through group policy. There are two group policies that you can use. One group policy will set it in IE7 standard mode. Another group policy will set a particular site in IE5 Quirks mode. For those of you who are still supporting Internet Explorer 6 sites, you may want to try a combination of IE5 Quirks mode, IE7. Generally, there are some that will work in between. But again, using this tool, you can find out the right mode. Then you figure out what tools do I have for changing that mode for my end users. And I'll show you another couple of tricks as well. All right, in this case, let's go out to a site. And I found this site by doing a search for works best with IE7 and before. There are some sites out there. In this case, it's a watch site based in Asia. And I wrote to them, of course, and sought permission to show you this demonstration. Now, in this case, you'll notice that right now I'm running in IE7 standards mode. Notice up here this blue compatibility view list is turned on. I can turn that off. And it'll try to render it in IE10 standards mode. But notice what happens to the drop-down menu. The drop-down menu doesn't work so well. So let's play with a couple of different standards modes here. Let's try Quirks mode. Re-render the page. OK, I don't get drop-down menus at all. Not too useful. IE9 standards. OK, there we go. I get drop-down menus. My shadowing seems to work properly. OK, so IE9 seems to work. IE8, yep, that seems to work as well. And IE7, Yeah, it's off a little bit. It's impossible to actually, well, you can pick something, but it's a little difficult to pick anything from the dropdown. So in this case, I know that this website works a little bit better if I were to choose IE8 or IE9 standards mode. And just the same way, you could do this kind of testing very quickly with internal web apps, with external website, decide what the right mode is, and then either work with the developer, work with Microsoft, or use the tools at your own disposal through group policy or other things to be able to make these changes. In this case, the easiest thing for me to do is simply to suggest that we include this site in the compatibility view list for IE8 or IE9, and ask the developer to please let us know when they want to upgrade to standards mode. Now, there's another tool that I wanted to mention to you and go through in some detail, and that's modern.ie. Has anyone used this site yet? Modern.ie? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands, so it's worth talking about for a moment. And of course, I'm still in IE7 standards mode, so let's switch, or IE8 standards. This is a site created by Internet Explorer to make it easier for web developers to test their website against three things, really. Against older versions of Internet Explorer, to make sure that a website is compatible with older versions. To test against modern standards, so that we make sure the website is compatible across a variety of devices and a variety of web browsers. To make sure that they've implemented modern standards like HTML5 and CSS3 that support, you know, lots of devices, not just Microsoft. And finally, to suggest that they incorporate a couple of Windows 8 features. For example, we can, with just a few lines of markup, we can add a high-resolution tile graphic so that if someone were to pin the site using Windows 8, if they were to pin it to their start screen, they would actually have the logo for the site and even a live tile in Windows 8.1 preview. So just some very, very simple changes. If I type in a URL here, it will suggest changes. So I can type in the URL we were just using. It goes and does a scan and then comes back to me with some suggestions. And it will check in a variety of ways. Fix common problems for supporting older versions of IE. It looks like it's using an out-of-date version of jQuery. So it gives very explicit guidance on what can be changed. It also suggests some changes in responsive web design, touch-first browsing, and site tile. Now, when I saw this tool a few months ago, of course, my first question was, this is great. Can I run it inside a network? Can I run it against internal web apps? And they said, oh, that's great. We hadn't thought of that. Let's put something together for you. And they did. So about a month ago, they released a downloadable version of modern.ie. So I wanted to go through that and take a couple minutes just to show you that as well. If I go back to modern.ie, actually, I'll just hit back. Notice here, after the URL scan, it says, download it here. What you actually download, and I'll show you. You download a modern.ie.zip, which is the scanner component of this engine. And you also have to download a library to be able to support it. Now, there's a one-page README document, which I have right here. And again, I'm not a developer. This took me about 10 minutes to set up. So it's not very difficult. And this is actually something that you could set up within your own network and offer it as a service for your developers. So if I dive in here, there's a README.txt. It explains exactly what I need to do. And it turns out what I need to do here is simply, once I've installed node.js, which is the library that I need to support this, I can run my node.js command prompt. That sets up the environment that I need with the environmental variables. Now I need to change directories to the place where I put modern.ie. And now I type in, okay, by default, it uses the port 1337, which I think is kind of funny. Leet, right? You can set this to any port you want. You can run this on another machine. You could run this as a service. So lots of different ways of running this. In this case, I'm just running it kind of interactively. And at this point, I can go back to my browser and type localhost. Localhost 1337 takes me to that scanner. Now watch, when I scan my local page now, if I were to type in server 1 terra firma, it does submit some of this content to the website for formatting. But it's completely up to you whether or not you choose to submit this to the website. What I'm told is that we don't capture this data. But again, it's totally up to you. If you don't want to send anything up to Microsoft, I completely understand. I'm also responsible for security and privacy for Internet Explorer, so I understand that. What you can do is see what will be submitted. This is the actual XML that's going to be pushed up to the cloud and formatted properly. And what I see here is the only thing that's really identifiable is the URL. I can change that URL and then submit the data and, you know, still see the same results. Or I can just go through this myself. I can see that the CV list passed, CSS prefixes passed, passed equals true, doc type passed equals true. So I can look at the specific tests that it ran before I even if I don't submit it. In this case, I am going to submit to the website for formatting. And now I'm able to see all of the problems with this website. In this case, it's the breakpoints on the website don't really honor modern devices. What we suggest is breakpoints, and this is just a standard across all browsers, across all devices. It's apparently a best practice now to have breakpoints at 320, 480, 640, 768, and so on. So relatively minor problem, really. And also adding, you know, touch features and the start screen site tile. So I wanted to show you this because modern.ie is a very easy tool that you can use or you can recommend to your developers for fixing some of these problems. Any questions about this? Yes, sir. No, that's a great question. Is there any way to batch it together for large volumes of applications? Not currently. But as of last week, I was told that I'm now responsible for future development of enterprise features. So that will go towards the top of my list. If you have other suggestions for functionality for modern.ie, please let me know, because I represent enterprise customers within this tool. So I'm happy to help you with this. The other thing that I'd like to see, frankly, I've talked internally. If you're a partner in the audience who can develop this, I'd love to talk with you further. But I've talked internally about the possibility of having a plugin that sits on a user's desktop and simply collects data as they surf, you know, internal web apps, external web apps. Because I think one problem that this scanner has is it's not going to log into a line of business application. You know, it may tell you whether the top page of your HR application is compatible or not, but it's not going to dive six levels deep. It's not, you know, we do have a web scanner, a scanner that will go that deep, but not with applications that require some interaction. What I'd love to do instead is figure out how we can develop a plugin that actually watches a user as they spend their day doing their job. And at the end of the day, running IE9 with this plugin, it will tell you what's compatible with IE10 and what's not compatible with IE10. So it's a great product idea. I'm not quite ready to quit my job at Microsoft and go develop it on my own. Again, not a developer. But I'm happy to help subsidize the creation and development of that tool. So if you have ideas or suggestions for modern.ie or anything along those lines, please do reach out to me. All right, let's switch back. I mentioned briefly that there are two policies that you can put in place, and yes, I've already asked engineering if we can have additional policies for those compatibility modes. But today what we have for IE10 are Internet Explorer 7 sites, and this is simply a list of sites. You can list extranet sites, you can list intranet sites. You can have either within this policy. You can also have a list of quirks mode sites, and again, it's not IE10 quirks. It's the original IE5 quirks mode, which is important for those of us who may be still supporting IE6 or other older websites. And these are some of the other policies. I have a long list of resources in these slides that I wanted to make available to you. If you download the slide deck, you'll see them. But I won't go through and read them all. I'll just go through some of these quickly. Now, a summary of the troubleshooting steps that I mentioned earlier, basically figuring out which mode works for a particular website. Once you've figured out which mode works, then you're in a much better position to use the tools available to set that mode. There's one other that I mentioned that is a little bit of development, but it's not too intrusive. You can even do it with some websites. You could even do it through Notepad or Vi, which is what I started developing with, 15 years ago for some websites. XUA compatible is simply a meta tag that can explicitly set the document mode. So it's not too much trouble for developers to add an XUA compatible tag or string to the header of the website so that it will explicitly set that document mode for you. And I've talked to folks who have attended my presentations in the past who say, as they start to update their internal web applications, their developers are choosing as a best practice to set XUA compatible for IE10 mode because they're trying to prevent any problems 5 years from now or 10 years from now with compatibility modes. So I just share that as a best practice that's been shared with me. I think all of this, though, comes down to ideally updating the site for modern standards. Not for Internet Explorer, not for Chrome, not for Firefox, but just writing to modern HTML5, modern CSS3 that should work on ideally any device, any browser, anywhere. So we have just a few minutes left for questions. I did try to pack as much information as I could in this session, and we have about 5 minutes left. So hopefully, we did cover at a high level customizing the browser, deploying Internet Explorer, some browser management tips and tricks, including the configuration tool, and application compatibility for IT pros. There are some specific resources that I suggest for IT pros, and at that first one, technout.microsoft.com/IE, a little bit later today, you should see some information on Internet Explorer 11 preview. There's also information for developers at msdn.microsoft.com/IE, also on Internet Explorer 11 preview information. Lots of informational resources. There are blogs, both from the engineering team and from the business or marketing side of the house. Windows resources, additional resources, TechNet and Channel 9. And for more information. Now, please, I do appreciate your feedback. I read every bit of feedback very, very carefully. And I'll be really candid with you. In my last session at TechEd New Orleans, I had one individual who said, "Seems like a jerk." So please, if I seem like a jerk, let me know. But tell me more why about, how I was a jerk, because I don't know how to improve. But I do appreciate your time. Are there any questions? We have some microphones at the back. A question right here? Yes, sir. Are there tools available for, I couldn't quite hear, I'm sorry.
Are there tools available for scanning problems in Flash in EA?
I believe there are tools, third-party tools, available for scanning Flash and other problems. Again, that's more of a developer question. Come grab a business card, and I can put you in touch with the right people.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Another hand just back there? Yes.
What happened to IE maintenance in Windows settings in the group policies?
We had IE maintenance mode, and frankly, a lot of customers said that was problematic. I've presented at a lot of audience now, and generally, the people who like that we removed IE maintenance mode outweigh the number who don't like it about 10-1. But I understand that if you built your infrastructure to be able to support IE maintenance mode, obviously changing is, it can be problematic. Any other questions? All right, I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much, and have a great tech ed. Thank you.